Amen. What a interesting question. Where would you be without Jesus? It's probably not a good spot, that's for sure. Okay, Mark chapter 14. I know I'd mentioned last week the plan was to continue with our furtherance of the gospel in the book of Acts on Sunday mornings. But the Lord just kind of laid this upon my heart to switch Sunday school and Sunday morning. If you were not here for Sunday school class, there is, I'm sure it was recorded online, and you're welcome. There's a few different spots you can go look at that and see. And as we talked about the foundational truths for the furtherance of the gospel. We looked at Acts chapter number 1 at the beginning, Acts chapter number 2, and we talked about how things have to be done God's way. It's got to be His time. It's got to be His place. It's got to be by His power. And we looked at that His way is through prayer. His way is through waiting. And most of the point that we spent most of the time on was His way is through unity, too, talking about amongst the church, if the church is truly going to further the gospel. I know individuals can do works and things like that, and which is wonderful. But if truly the power of the Holy Spirit is going to fall on a church, it's going to have to be unified. And it's got to be something that we work together in trying to get the gospel of Jesus Christ out. Today, we're going to look at a Bible character. We don't always look at one specific character on a Sunday morning message, but this morning, we're going to look at a Bible character. Because I don't know if you have a favorite Bible character or not. I got a number of them. Probably my all-time favorite is Barnabas. I just really enjoy his story. I enjoy how much of an encourager he is and how he's an encourager at different times in the Bible. We don't know as much as him as we would about a Paul, you know, or a John or a Peter, but still that would be my guy. And there's different Bible characters we learn so much from. We think about it. We consider some of the people that inspire us. Think about the courage of David versus Goliath, or the courage of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, or the separation that Daniel had, or the encouragement that Ruth was, the boldness of a John the Baptist, the zeal of a Paul. But then you got the other side. There's Bible characters that God gives us, and we realize we learn things from them, but we learn what we're not supposed to do. And we think about certain characters. I think about King Saul. We don't want to turn out like King Saul. Think about Jezebel. And you think about this morning in our children's church, early morning children's church, we talked about Achan. We don't want to learn we don't want to do the things that Achan did. We learned that how we should guard our eyes and we should care about God's commandments and realize that we're not going to be able to hide our sins. And the character we're going to look at today is probably one of the most saddest story in all the Bible. A man that was connected with some of the most horrible things, worst things possible. A traitor, a thief, a liar, a hypocrite, and all those different things. And most of you probably know where we're at, and if you've been following along in the Gospel of Mark, it's talking about Judas. Judas. You know, Judas is not related to so many different bad things. They actually have a term for an animal called a Judas goat. And the goat is known for leading other animals to the slaughterhouse. I mean, would you really want your name attached to that? I mean, I don't think there's anybody named Judas in the room. I don't think I've ever met anybody named Judas before. People don't name their children Judas nowadays because of the infamy. He wasn't just that he was famous, he was infamous. Sometimes when I talk to somebody and I see their name tag and they have so many unique names today, I'll ask them sometimes how to say their name, or how do you pronounce your name? And I'll say, I don't think I've ever met, our missionary here has an interesting name, Naphtali or something like that. And I've never met someone named that. And so it's a way I use sometimes to begin a conversation with somebody and invite them to church. But Judas is a name that, boy, people just aren't named that. But you know, the sadness of the story is, sad as it was and all those things he went through, the saddest thing is where he's at today. He's in hell today. He's been there for almost 2,000 years. Even probably sadder than that, 2,000 years from now, he's going to be in the same spot. And so when we look at this, it's going to be a little bit of a different message this morning, but I want you to consider this morning some lessons we learn from Judas. Someone who was part of the group, but never knew Christ. And as we look at this, I want you to consider your salvation. Has there been a time in your life, Not asking if you're part of a group. Judas was part of a group. Judas had the greatest preacher, but he still was lost. Of Judas's group, and you know, when did a church start? People would have conversations. He had the strongest church family, but he was never a believer. You know, they have conversation. When did the church start? Did it start at Pentecost? Did it start after Christ? And it's an interesting study. But no matter what, the group he was a part of filled with strong believers, but still lost. Judas was more interested in money, more interested in the here and now than the hereafter. The Bible talks about how he sold for 30 pieces of silver. Do you know how much 30 pieces of silver is worth today? Not even $4,000. Can you imagine that? Giving up, selling Jesus Christ for 4,000 pieces of silver. The Bible says in Mark chapter 14, verse 43, "And immediately while he yet spake, cometh Judas, one of the 12, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. And he that betrayed him had given him a token, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Take him and lead him away safely. And as soon as he was come, he goeth straightway to him and saith, Master, Master, and kissed him." Let's have a word of prayer and ask God's help today. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we're interested in what you have in store for us today. And Lord, I pray that you specifically speak to our hearts. There's always two different groups of people. There's one that's saved and on their way to heaven, and then the other group is the people that are lost and on their way to hell. And Lord, as we consider today's passage, we see a man who pretended to be a monk of a group of believers, but never truly was born again. And Lord, I know that I've heard too many testimonies, I've seen many testimonies, even amongst my own family, of people that were part of a church for many, many years and really truly came to repentance and was born again. Lord, I pray that today, that no matter who it is that's here, that's listening, that you will help us understand whether we truly know you personally or not. And Lord, if we do know you, that we will remember that you saved us and how you saved us by grace through faith, but also how we need to be a testimony amongst all that are around us. Lord, never really truly knowing who has truly been born again. And Lord, to those today that would say, I'm not sure if I die today that I would go to heaven, not truly sure of my eternal destiny, that you would convict their heart and help them see that need. And Lord, have the opportunity to turn to you today and put their faith and trust in you. Lord, I pray that today's sermon, as we see Judas, someone who had so many opportunities but walked away, that we would learn from this and understand the great opportunities that God gives us. Let us not walk away from them, but instead embrace them. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible talks about Judas in many different ways and many different times. There is a verse that says in Acts 1:25, after he spoke a little bit about him, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. Might go to his own place in Acts 1:25. What does that mean? I believe it's a reference to hell. We all have a place that we're going someday, and it's either heaven or hell. And the reality is, you make that choice here in this world. Now, I know many times people think of Judas as some type of monster, or they think he was some type of demon. But Judas was not a monster. He was someone's son. Judas was not a monster. He was a man with a soul. He was very close with the rest of the disciples. Think about it. He was the treasurer of the group. He would have been part of this group. He would have been trusted with this group because you think about it. When Jesus said that one of you is going to betray me, they didn't all stand up. It's Judas. We know he's not like us. No. Instead, they went around in the room and said, is it I? Is it I? Is it I? Even when Jesus gave a different answer to Judas and he stopped, Judas still left and they were still surprised. They didn't know who it was because he was part of the group. So today, what I want to encourage you with is not about being part of a group. He was a trusted man. He was one of them. He was numbered with them. But there is a stark difference of being numbered with a group of believers and truly being a believer. There's a big difference between being a member of a church and being born again. And don't get me wrong, to be a member of this church, you had to give a testimony of salvation. You had to give a testimony of baptism by immersion. And that's great, but sometimes people are confused. Sometimes people play a game. Sometimes people wear a mask. Sometimes the devil has blinded the eyes of those. And today, I want you to understand, it doesn't matter where you're from. Doesn't matter what others think about you. I know most of you have heard my wife's testimony. After a revival service one Sunday morning, she came home and she was sad. And, you know, I talked to her and she's like, I need to be saved. You know what I said to her? No, you don't. You've been saved already. And she's like, no. And then she began to talk to me. And she tells the story that she had to convince me. I don't know if she had to convince me or not, but it was the truth that I really didn't want to believe it because I knew that I was saved. I knew from my testimony. And then she began to describe, and we walked through the Bible, and I had a privilege of, you know, leading, I don't know, you use the word leading her to Christ, but showing her the truths of the Bible and her calling out to the Lord. It didn't matter what I thought about my wife. It didn't. I told her she was saved. She's like, I'm not. Doesn't matter what others think about you. It doesn't matter how much you're responsible for. Judas, of all the different people that had a job, Judas had a job. We don't know of any of the other specific jobs that would have been one of the disciples he was responsible for. Doesn't even matter if you are someone that has responsibilities at a church. Like I said, it took a lot of courage in my mind for my wife to do this because she was the assistant pastor's wife. Can you imagine how many people might have said or done things? I think most people were a great encouragement to her also. It's not about her. We're talking about Judas. But if you do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you've missed it all. I remember they have this new thing. Some of you older people might not even know what this word was. Somebody had to explain to me. It's a word, meme. They have pictures or they have words, sayings. And I saw one this past week and I said, I didn't write it down exactly, but it said something like this. He says, it's talking about parenting, talking about being a good parent. If my child gets a sports scholarship but misses heaven, I failed. If my child, and it began to talk about some different achievements, if my child graduated from Harvard and they missed heaven, I failed. If my child, and it began talking about different accolades, different things, and it talked about, and they don't love the Lord, I gave them the wrong priorities. And it was kind of interesting, little meme, and I know usually short words, and one of them was a meme, one was a little bit longer when you clicked on it. But what is a person who would stay as a Judas, be inside of a group for all these years, these 3 years, 3.5 years, and miss the whole point? This morning, I want to encourage you, don't be someone that's playing church. Instead, understand the realities and the truths that are there. Judas was always mentioned as in the listing of the believers towards the end because he was not a true follower of Christ. Never one to truly believe that Jesus was his Messiah. Right. Now, don't get me wrong. He heard lots of Bible teaching. He even saw the miracles that Jesus did. But people can hear lots of Bible preaching and teaching. They can go through the motions and never truly personally be born again. Truly personally put their faith and their trust in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There are many that God convicted that was a church member before in their life, and they came to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ later on. Don't let another day pass by. If you know this is something that God's been working on your heart about, don't keep on pretending like a Judas did. It did not end well for him. As today, he is suffering and will continue on suffering. Here's a couple of things I want you to think about that we can learn from. Look what it says in verse 43 again. And immediately while he yet spake, cometh Judas, one of the 12, with a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and the scribes and elders. I know I've already alluded to this, but I wanted to kind of drive it home. Church membership is not enough. No one had a better pastor than Judas. No one had a stronger congregation than Judas. The question is, are you one of the group? Are you one with Jesus? Are you just part of something? Are you truly part of the family of God? Second thing I want you to see in Mark chapter 14, verse 44, the Bible says, and he that betrayed him had given them a token saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, the same, that same is he. Take him and lead him away safely. And I have highlighted in that phrase, whomever I shall kiss. It's shocking how close he came. We mentioned this last week in Sunday school. The preachers put it this way. He kissed the door of heaven, but still walked away. So close, yet so far away. There may be outward affections. There may be expressions. There may be acceptance of religious truth. Judas did all those things. If you do not know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, you are not ready to meet God. The Bible says in John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Even Judas, and here he's there, and he used the word. And the third thing I want you to notice here is in Mark 14:45, and as soon as he was come, he goeth straightway to him and saith, Master, Master, kissed him. I have highlighted those words, Master, Master. Even though he called him Master, he never in his heart repented and turned to him. That word Master, Master kind of brought up another thought process. Remember in Matthew chapter 7, actually, why don't you take your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7? The message this morning probably will not be as long as normal, but these are some interesting verses that I think will make maybe open your understanding even more. And I'm praying the Holy Spirit will help those who maybe do not know Christ today or do not know Christ. But look at Matthew chapter 7. Look what it says in verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord. Now, I know Judas said, Master, Master, but this is a different group. This is a group that said, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Now, skip down to verse number 23. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So verse 22 talks about all the good things. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? But look at the response. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And so, but they're saying, Lord, Lord, in verse 21. They're doing works in the name of God in verse 22. But God is saying, I never knew you. Does Jesus know you today? Do you know God in a personal relationship? I don't want to leave you in hopes of despair. I don't want to leave you with words of despair. I want you to leave you with words of hope. You know what? Jesus himself, when Judas came in Luke 6:46, the Bible says, Matthew 26:50, and Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Jesus looks at him. Now, can you imagine this? Jesus is a friend to sinners. He looks at this man and he knows exactly what this man is doing. He knows that he's coming and betray him with a kiss. And what does Jesus call him? Does he call him traitor? Does he call him some nasty name? No, he says, friend. He looked Judas in the face and says, friend, I'm thankful that Jesus is the friend of sinners. Yes. He's looking him in the face. He knows everything he's going to do. Friend, where art thou come? What is the purpose? Why would he do that? In John 13:1, it talks about how he loved them until the end. Now, here's the thing I want to drive home to you. Judas did not go to hell because Jesus didn't love Judas. Right. Judas did not go to hell because Jesus didn't love him. Didn't go to hell because God hated him. Well, Judas did this. God cast him into hell for that. That's not the reason why Judas went to hell. Judas went to hell because he rejected Jesus Christ. Amen. Up to the very end, Jesus, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, even loved Judas. And I don't care who you are. I don't care what you've done or all the things if you've done, whether bad or good. I don't care what the rest of the world would tell you. They would look at the thief of the cross and says, that guy's in hell. But Jesus says, remember, today I'll remember thee. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Or that person will look at someone that does not know Christ but lives a moral life. If anybody's going to heaven, it's that person. And we all like to think our place is going to be heaven. Like he says, he went to his place in Acts 1:25. We all like to think that that one place, you know, we're all going to heaven. But the reality is, according to the Bible, if the Bible is true, we're not all going to heaven. Even the majority are not going there. And we must understand it as a personal relationship that we come to a decision when we're confronted with our sins and we've seen what Christ has done and we believe in him. I don't care who you are or what you've done or what you think about yourself or what others think about you. Jesus looks to you and knows you and loves you. And he wants you to repent of your sin. He wants by faith to take Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Will you call on him today? If you're sitting here and you're hearing these words, is it something you're going to push forward and say, oh, I'm not going to worry about that? I wonder what would have happened if Judas had fallen on his knees and said, I'm sorry, Jesus. I should have never done this. I wonder if he would have repented. Yes, he showed great remorse. Yes, he went to the religious leaders, but he was trying to pay back what he had done already. And what we understand is that when we see ourselves as sinners, we cannot pay back our sin. That's what Jesus Christ did when he died on the cross. He paid our sin debt for us. I wonder what would have happened at the moment if Judas had repented of his sin and by faith taken Christ as his Savior. I think, according to what the Bible says, he would have been able to go to heaven. Doesn't matter what we've done. It matters what we believe. If you're still breathing today, there is hope. If you're still breathing, God is giving you a chance to turn to him. Who cares what else anybody else thinks? What does God say about you? Or more importantly, what does God know about you? Who cares if everyone else thinks that you were a really great person? I know Judas wouldn't care about what everybody said about him in this world. Someday, every one of us will go to their place. I want that place to be heaven for you. Make sure that you're born again. Make sure this is something that you and your life know beyond the shadow of a doubt, based off what the scripture says and what the scripture teach. Not because your mom or dad told you you were saved or some teacher say, hey, you're a Christian, you're on your way to heaven. Doesn't matter what others say. It matters what God knows. This morning, I also want to talk to believers for just a second. There's a verse in the Bible in Matthew and Luke chapter 6, verse 46. It says, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? It's one of the most convicting verses in all the Bible to me. Same thing, that it's a different than the ones in Matthew chapter 7, and I don't want to confuse anyone, but in Matthew chapter 7, there's a group that do not know Christ, and they're saying, Lord, Lord, and Jesus said, I never knew you. But then he looks at a group of people and say, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I say? I think we can apply that to believers today. We sing songs calling him Lord. We sing songs saying that he's master. We sing and we pray those things. Are we doing the things that God wants us to do? Is he really truly Lord if we're not doing the things which he says? In your life today, is he Lord of your life? Is he someone that you want to do what he wants you to? We spent a lot of time talking about the furtherance of the gospel this morning in Sunday school class, and I hope you'll listen to it if you haven't already. And it's asking this question, are we furthering the gospel? It's about unified. The 120 people that were in that upper room, some were ladies, some were men. They were unified. They were working together for the cause. They went and turned the world upside down. It's because the church belongs to the Lord. It's not an individual's. It's not about personalities. It's not about me, not about you. It's not about what we want to protect or what we want to guard. It's about working together and coming together for the cause of Jesus Christ. That only happens when we're willing to do things his way. Remember, God's place, God's timing, God's place, God's power. So this morning, I know it's a little bit of a different message, but the Lord laid this upon my heart to ask, are you saved today? Are you on your way to heaven? Can you give a biblical reason why you would be allowed into heaven today. If it's anything else apart from that Jesus Christ died on the cross, and there was a moment in my life that I understood that, and God convicted me of my sins, and I turned to him and put my faith and trust in him. That's the only way to heaven. Judas missed it all. Kissed the door of heaven. As we see here in verse number 43, it was someone that was one of the 12. He was part of the group, but would never believe. In verse 44 is someone who got super close, whomsoever I shall kiss. Verse 45 called him master and master, but he went into his own place. This morning, where would your place be if you died today? Let's go ahead and have everybody's head bowed and eyes closed.